Now we're holding on page Tzadik Vav in Brachos, the beginning of the widest lines. Middle of Iskof Lamed. The Mishnah said on Nichnas Lekrach that if a person is going into a big city, and big cities in those times were particularly dangerous places, as we're going to see in the Gemara, you're more likely to be arrested by the police on false charges, who knows what. So the Mishnah describes that you say a bunch of you say two tefillos before you go into the city and two after you leave. So now, but the Mishnah doesn't list out what they are. So now we have a braisa, tanan rabbanan. We learn in a braisa that gives the details. But nisasei mahu omer, before he goes into the city, what should he say? Yirotzen lofanacha Hashem alekai shatach miseni lekrach zel shalom, that you should bring me into this big city in peace. Nichnas, once he gets in, Oymen, then he says, Moidani lefanecha, Hashem alekai, shehichnastani lekrach zel shalom, that you brought me into the city in peace, that there wasn't any problem trying to enter the city, any trouble with the guards or anything like that. Bikish lotzis, when he's getting ready to leave the city, Oymen, yirotzen lefanecha, Hashem alekai, that you should get me out of the city in peace. In other words, again, that I shouldn't have any problem with the guards at the gates or what have you. Yotze, once he leaves, Omer, then he says, Modani lefanach, Hashem alekai, shoytze sani mikrach ze l'sholem, that you brought me out of the city in peace. And then you continue, Shem shoytze sani l'sholem, just as you brought me out in peace, kach telicheni l'sholem, so you should make me able to continue going on my way in peace, v'sis mecheni l'sholem, and support me in peace, v'tzatzideni l'sholem, and make me walk in peace, v'tzatzideni mikach bel oyev v'orev v'aderech, and save me from every enemy and every ambusher on the way. Now, this is much the same lashon as we have in Tfilas HaDerech. So, in fact, the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, deal with, essentially, we're not talking about over here when you live in such a city. If you live in such a city, you already know your way around. You know the guards, you know the police, or whatever. You're not really going to have to worry any more about them one day than any other. We're talking about when you're passing through the city, and especially in those times, you know, you might have that they might try to take advantage more of people from out of town and try to trump up charges against them or who knows what. So like this, when you're passing through the city, so if you're on the road and you have to say tefillos haderech anyhow, then you're combining it with this. So then you're this nusach that you're saying over here. So anyway, what you say is tefillos haderech, and that includes this. We're talking about over here where for whatever reason you're not saying tefillos haderech. For example, you know, according to most poskim, once you say tefillos haderech the first day of the trip, you don't say it the subsequent days. The Alter Rebbe says because you have poskim that say that you do is why we say it the rest of the days without a bracha. But according to many poskim, once you said it the first day, you wouldn't say it again. So in that case, that would be when you say the nusach over here. So you're not saying the full tefillos haderech, but you're saying a part of it to ask Hashem to save you from troubles on the road. But if, in fact, the situation is that you're actually going to be saying tefillos haderech, then in fact, you would say that rather than saying the same thing twice. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Masna, worth mentioning, by the way. I think I mentioned it earlier in the Masechta when we talked about Tfilas Haderech, but it's worth telling the story again. That there was this younger man in Eretz Yisrael was one time taking a taxi, and he says Tfilas Haderech. So the taxi driver, not yet from Yid, says to him, "Mikafkal Oyev Va'Oyev V'Listim B'Chayis Rois." What are the Chayis Rois on the road over here? And he's laughing at him, and the younger man doesn't say anything. A little while later, a fly flies into the window and is going all over the place in front of the taxi driver. He's almost running off the road, trying to get rid of it. He finally has to pull over to the side and shoo it out. He gets back in. He says to the younger man, "Okay, I see what you're talking about." Anyway. So there is discussion about maybe making it on. Yeah, I think the Rebbe talks about in some letters that since in many places the airport is outside the city, because you have the question becomes whether you say tefillos haderech on an actual airplane flight. Is an airplane flight itself considered derech? There's a famous thing where the Rogachover said no, based on a Gemara in Chulin, derech mesher ikri, derech stamala ikri. So there is an argument to be made that you don't say tefillos haderech on the actual plane flight itself. So therefore, yeah, the Rebbe talks about in some letters that the accepted compromise is either you say it on the way to the airport, if the airport is outside the city, as it is in many places in the world, where they're already, you're traveling a parasa to get there anyhow, or another possibility is you say it while the plane is taxiing, before it actually takes off.
Why isn't that called derech? A boat is called derech?
So the Gemara mentions it. So there's a Gemara in Chulin discussing as far as in connection with Shavuach Hakan. So it describes over there what happens if you, first it says, what happens if you find the nest in the water? Do you have to do Shavuach Hakan on it? And the answer is yes, because you have a pasuk that describes a path in the water as depth. So then the Gemara asks, well, what about if you find the nest in the air? Say, for example, a bird is flying and has the nest and it's holding the nest in its beak. And the Gemara says, you have also a pasuk that calls it derech nesher b'shamayim. So the Gemara answers, no, it's only called derech nesher. It's not called derech plain. So the Rogatchover, so famously, they asked the Rogatchover about that. And he said the same thing as far as Tfilos HaDerech, then based on that Gemara, derech nesher is not derech stam. So therefore, there's reason to argue that a plane flight wouldn't do. So even if Reb Shlomi Yosef Zevin brings this in one of his Sfarim, and he says, with all due respect to the Rogatchover, it may have been a nice glass veto, he didn't necessarily mean it as practical halacha, but nevertheless, because of that is why the minhag has developed that you say it on the trip to the airport or when the plane is taxiing or whatever, in order to be choshesh for that. So, for example, in New York, that doesn't work, Taka. If you're going to JFK or LaGuardia, yeah, you're not going outside the city. Then that's not going to work. It would work if you're going to Newark Airport, maybe. But in most other places in the world, usually the airport is a considerable distance outside the city. So you actually would have enough time to say the trip itself is long enough to say Tfilos HaDerech. Yeah. The Gemara continues, Amr of Masna, Loishno al Bekrach Shein Donin Vahurgin Bai. Now, this applies only to a city where they don't have a judicial system. They don't have judges who judge people and execute people. So now, in other words, there's anarchy, basically. So it's not even so much that you might have to deal with the guards and the police or whatever. It's more that you may have to deal with other kinds of robbers and bandits and who knows what other kind of criminal element hangs out in the city. And since there's no justice system, then they're not afraid. But in a city where they do judge people and they do kill them, less than above, then there's no problem because then these people are going to be afraid to start up with you. Ikadamri, another version, no. No, even if it's a city where they do have a judicial system and they do judge people and kill, on the contrary, it might happen that the person himself gets arrested on trumped up charges and he can't find a lawyer to stand up for him, and therefore they end up executing him. So according to the first explanation, in other words, it actually says if there's a judicial system over there, it's more so. Okay, be careful not to break the law, and if you do break the law, then that's your problem. Then don't go into a city where you're likely to be in trouble. But now, according to the second version, it doesn't matter. Even if you didn't intend to do anything wrong, they might bring charges against you, and you never know. The Alter Rebbe doesn't even bring this halacha in his Shulchan Aruch at all. Mashma that maybe nowadays it's not really as much of an issue. Big cities are not really such a dangerous place compared to anything else that you should have to say four tefillos when you're going in and out of it. So The Gemara says Tanan Rabbanan Hanichnas Leves HaMerchatz. When a person goes into a bathhouse. Now, bathhouses in those days were built like this. You have to heat up the bathhouse somehow. You have to heat up the water in it. The way they had, you can find, by the way, if you go to Eretz Yisrael and visit various archaeological sites, you'll have many examples of that. They would have a subfloor. Then they would have pillars built on top of that floor. And then those pillars would support a second floor above it. In the space between those two floors, they would put wood, which eventually gets burnt into charcoal, and that would heat up the place. So now there's a real danger. First of all, the water itself that you're bathing in may be too hot and you could get scalded. But second of all, if the floor falls in, then you're really in danger. You're in there among all the coals. That you should save us from this and from anything like it. There shouldn't happen to me any problem or any kind of avera. Now, why specifically are you mentioning dvar kol of oven? So Marsha points out, in the bathhouse, you don't have any mitzvahs with you. We have the famous story with David HaMelech in the Gemara in Menachos, where he realized that he's naked in the bathhouse and he's bare of mitzvahs. And then, so what's he going to do? And he was all worried. And then he remembered, you know what? I have my bris milah with me all the time. And then he composed Lamatzeach al Shminis in gratitude for that. So therefore, so now you have, in other words, there's more likely to be oven because you don't have mitzvahs as much protecting you over there, like you do everywhere else, where you're wearing tefillin and tzitzis and so forth. And you have kalkala, again, that you're in great danger from the fire under the floor. So that's why you mentioned that. And you continue, v'im yera bidvar kalkala v'oven, if anything does go wrong, or if I do, or if any avera, it comes to me, tehemi sasi kapara alu l'chol avenoise, then my death should be a kapara for all my averas. However, Amar Abaya, le'lema inish hafi, but Abaya says a person shouldn't say that last part. You shouldn't open up your mouth to Sutton. Don't say, if I die, then such and such, because then you're already making it. The Sutton can already be the captive. You know, let's take a look and see whether this person deserves to live to survive this experience. As in fact, Rish Lakish says, we also learn in a braisa in the name of Rabbi Yosi, a person should never open up his mouth to the Sutton, because then the Sutton can use that as a basis for being a captive on him. Omer of Yosef, Maikra, where's a posik that expresses that point? Dichtiv, you have a posik where the Navi is saying in the name of the Jewish people that if Hashem at the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, it's an after of Shabbos Chazon, if Hashem had left us a remnant, kimat to Sdoim Hayunov Amorah Domino, we would have almost been like Sdoim and Amorah, that were completely wiped out. So we're saying thank you, Hashem, for not bringing us that. But Maya Hadul Navi, but what does the Navi respond to them? Shimud Var Hashem Ptine Sdoim again. You know what? You're mentioning Sdoim and Amorah. Speaking of Sdom and Amorah, you guys are acting like people of Sdom and Amorah. So don't talk about that. So therefore, in other words, Maosha says that Abaya is not bothered about the first part of the tefillah. Yeah, by all means, daven to Hashem. Daven to Hashem to save you from what might happen in this place. But don't go on to say the last part of Im Yera that you should leave out. The Gemara continued, by the way, nowadays we don't do that because our bathhouses and our mikvahs are not built that way. There's no particular danger that you have in them. Ki nafik my omer, what do you say when you leave the bathhouse? You say, thank you, Hashem, for saving me from the fire. That the floor did not cave in. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rabbi Bohu one time went into a bathhouse. If chisbe boni mitose and the floor collapsed, or the floor of the bathhouse collapsed underneath him, isruchesh le nisa, a nest happened to him, kom alamuda, he was able to stand on one of those pillars that had previously held up the floor, shoziv mea v'chad gavri v'chad evri, he was able to save 101 people with one arm, meaning that Rashi says he made like a human chain. He's holding on to one person who's holding on to the next person and so forth, and they were all able to hold on to each other and then keep that nobody should fall in. Omar, so he says, so now I understand what's going on over here, why you say such a tefillah, because yeah, a person could be in real danger when they go into the bathhouse. So that's why you say, that you brought me out of the fire, because yeah, it could taka happen that you're in great danger from the fire over there. Right, but Pashtos, I guess, because at the beginning you're talking about that there might be two things. There's the fire itself if the floor collapses, but even if not, again, the water itself might be too hot. Once you could, I guess, but I guess Dvar Kalkola, so that's what Maosha is saying, that Dvar Kalkola also includes, so it includes Kalkola from the Ur, but it also includes problems, Oven and Kalkola, that can come from not having mitzvahs with you. So the Gemara continues, the Omar or Omar of Acha Omarab, Hanichnas Lahakis Dam. When a person goes to have blood let, Omer Yirotzen Mefanach Hashem Alekai, Sheyehei Esek Zelu Refor, that this business should be a refor for me, or Srap Eni, and that you should heal me, Kikeo Roife Naman Ata, because you're a trustworthy healer, or for us Chaemes, and your healing is a true healing. Meaning, in other words, a doctor heals somebody, he can always relapse, but Hashem heals, then it's a true healing and it lasts. Because you continue in the tefillah that it's not really the right way for people to be healed. Really, the right thing to do would be to daven for rachman for Hashem, elishinagu, but the minig is that people do go to doctors, and therefore this is what I'm doing. Eitz Yosef brings over, Anaf Yosef rather over here, brings something from the Taz that says that the vote is like you're sort of apologizing that after all, the why am I doing what? Why am I going to doctors? Why am I doing Derech HaTeva methods? Really, I should be davening for Rachman, but the normal way is to do it. But so therefore, I'm doing it. But I'm recognizing that it all comes from you. However, Abaye says a person shouldn't say that. The Tonid Rei Rabbi Shmuel, because we learn in a Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. It's not just that people were knowing, but it's the wrong thing to do. The fact is, the posit is Verapa Yerapa, Mikan Shenitin Roshus Lorei for the Rappas. From here, we learn that the Torah gives a doctor permission to heal. So you shouldn't say that Ein Darkon Shemene Adam. So that's the Taz continues. In other words, that in other words, it's true in principle. If people were on a high level, the Ramban says the same. This says something similar in Parshas Bechukotai. If people were taka on a high level, then taka they wouldn't need doctors. They wish the promises in a number of places in the Torah, called a machla shesamkin yitzam le'osim alacha and other such things like that. So yes, if people were on a high level, they wouldn't need it. But the fact is, the Eibishter knows good and well that most people are not going to be on that level. They're going to need doctors. So therefore, so it's not, and the Torah therefore proactively gives permission for it. So therefore, so it actually becomes a mitzvah. You can't really say that it's not really darkened from the Adam Elish and Nagel, which would imply that really it's the wrong thing to do. But what can I do? This is how people do. The fact is, in the condition that most people are in, it's actually the right and correct thing to do, and even a mitzvah. Ki koi mayona. Then what does the person say when he stands up and has finished the treatment? Amravacha Baruch Roi Fechinam, blessed is Hashem who heals for free. It says in Shulchan Aruch, by the same token, when you're taking medicine or something, also you don't necessarily have to say this whole nusach. I remember Dr. Feldman, all of Ashalim, used to tell me that, and then he would tell his other patients as well, you don't necessarily need to say the whole thing. You just say Yirotzin Mulfanecha, and with that itself, you're expressing that you recognize that the medicine is not what cures, it's the Eibishter that cures, and that's the main point. You don't necessarily have to say this whole long nusach. Continues the Gemara, Hanichnas the Beis HaKiseh, if a person goes into the bathroom, Omer, before he goes in, now a person is accompanied by Malachim. So he doesn't want, it's not really appropriate that Malachim should be going into the bathroom with him. So Omer, so he should say the following paragraph to ask them to leave him for now. Hiskabdu mechobodim, and be honored, you honored people, you honored ones, you honored Malachim. Kedoshim, the holy ones, Meshorse Elyon, the servants of Hashem, Tnu Kovid Leilekei Yisrael, give honor to Hashem by not going into such a place. Haupu Mimeni, leave me alone, Ad Shekonas Ve'eser Etzoni, until I go and do what I want to do, but Ovei Aleichem, and then I'll come back to you. So in other words, you're basically asking the Malachim to wait outside the bathroom for you. But again, the Gemara says, Omer Abaye Leilema Inish Hochi, a person shouldn't say that, because what do you mean? You're telling them to go away. They might take that at face value. I want you to go away. I don't want you to return. Elalema, rather you should say, Shimruni, Shimruni, guard me, which means guard me now and continue to guard me in the future. Izruni, Izruni, help me, Samchuni, Samchuni, support me and continue to support me. Hamtinuli, Hamtinuli, wait for me and wait for me. Adche Kones, until I go in, the eight say and I'll go out. Shekane Dakon Shemene Adam, because that's the normal way of people. You're Malachim, you don't know of such things, but we're people and that's the way our bodies work. The Avud Raham says that we don't say that nowadays, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, because we don't hold ourselves to be on the level that we always have Malachim accompanying us. An interesting point, by the way, they talk about this. Here Abaye is saying you shouldn't tell them to leave me because they may not come back. What about every Friday night? We say to the Malachim, say Sechem L'Shalom. So in fact, there are Nuschos where they actually say not say Sechem, but bit say Sechem B'Shalom, where they say when you leave, it should be B'Shalom. But or nusach, and the nusach of most of the belt, it says tzeischem, is you're not saying, it still amounts to the same thing, you're not saying I want you to leave. When you leave, eventually, when you decide to leave, it should be b'shalom, but we want you to still come back in the future.
So, another one's coming.
Right, so that's another explanation also, it's not a problem, because like the changing the guard, you have the weekday malachim are going away, and Shabbos malachim are coming, and therefore it's fine to say to the weekday malachim tzeischem b'shalom, because they're leaving us for the next 25 hours, yeah.
We are also
in
Shabbat,
and that's why we're shy of the Malachim. Right. Yeah.
Shalom Aleichem and
Bayakham B'Shalom
sound like repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom Aleichem, you're saying goodbye for the weekday Malachim.
And For the Shabbos Malachim, interesting. Okay. So then, Shabbos Malachim, the Shalom would have to be the Shabbos Malachim, interesting. I didn't know that, but.
The Deuk Amunuzach is Malachi Hasharis is the first one. Mm-hmm. Is Malachi Elia. No, go ahead. Don't say again, Malachi Hasharis.
Right, all the other ones are Malachi Hasharis. Yeah.
Those are the
Shabbos
Malachim.
Interesting.
Sharis is the weekend Malachim.
Interesting. Okay. Sure. So according to that, I guess, yeah, Tzeis Kama Shalom is addressed to the Shabbos Malachim, fine, but you're not saying go right now. You're saying when you decide to leave, then it should be the Shalom. Yeah. Okay. Kinofik Oimer, when a person goes out of the bathroom, what is he? The board of the bracha that he says, Baruch Hashem Yotzer Sa'odim B'chofma, that Hashem created man with wisdom, which there are a few different meanings of what that means. Tosfos says it means that Hashem created a person with his mezonos already in place. We find by Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem created everything else first, and then he created Adam and Chava. So we see that Hashem used Chochma to have everything prepared for Adam before he was actually created. So Chochma means, according to that, Chochma that Hashem put into how Adam should be created, or when he should be created, yeah, that everything should be already prepared for him. So that's okay. So Marsha says. So Marsha says that So Rashi understands b'chochma is referring to the chochma of how the body is put together. Yeah. Rashi says further down by Omafli Lassis. So Rashi goes through. Yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu boras adam b'chochma uvor avon kovim habe, that the chochma is that Hashem created many holes and so on and so forth. Marsha says a third meaning also. B'chochma means pashat that Hashem created a human being with chochma, unlike all the other creatures. So there's three different meanings of what Asher Yatzer Asadim B'chochma means. We continue. Uvaravon Nekovim Nekovim. Hashem made in a person many holes, which the amazing thing is, Rashi says, and Tosfos brings in more detail based on a medrash, that if you have, for example, you have a bag containing liquid, or nowadays you might think of a balloon containing air or something, you make one hole in it and the whole thing is poof. But here you have many holes in the body, and still a person's spirit and a person's breath remains in him. That's a tremendous thing. Chalolim chalolim. Hashem also created many hollows. Many of the Rishonim have the girsa chalulim, which is how we have it in the Siddur, because chalolim would imply the actual empty areas themselves. Where those, you can't say Hashem created them. You don't create emptiness. Rather, chalulim means the hollow organs. So Hashem created many hollow organs, such as the heart and the stomach and so forth, and that's chalulim rather than chalolim. Another point they say also is because the word chalolim can also mean dead bodies and has a few other meanings. So therefore, yeah, chalulim is more appropriate. We continue. It's revealed and well known before Hashem, before your throne of glory. If one of them should be opened up, meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, Rashi describes one of those hollow organs. If there was a hole in it, if there was a hole in the heart or the stomach or what have you, the guy's a goner. Or if one of them was closed up, one of the ones that are supposed to be open, the mouth, the nose, etc. There's different nuschos among the Rishonim whether you put your paseach or your sasim first. The riff and the Rambam, I think, have your sasim first, and we follow that nusach. Dayan Raskin mentions in his notes on the Siddur an interesting possible reason why is because your sasim echad mehem would be too much gvura. In other words, you have something that should be open, which is an expression of chesed, and now it's closed up, and that's an expression of gvura that's being withheld. So you want to first. What you want to first focus on, if there's too much gvura, and saying that we thank you, Hashem, that you didn't put too much gvura, and then continue with the opposite problem, where there might be too much chesed, where something is open inappropriately. EF shalamid lefanecha, it would be impossible to stand before you. Again, here you have different mischois. You have, we say, EF shalay skayim afilashah echas. One point is that it's brought, I think, in Kisvei HaRizal, that le skayim doesn't, we're not just referring to the individual human body, we're referring actually to the, in this bracha, the pnimius, we're referring to what's going on in Olam HaSel Yonim. So we're talking about the entire world wouldn't be able to exist, le skayim. If the Eidusha didn't use the proper blend of chesed and gvura in it. So therefore, you don't have the lam at the fanecha, but again, in many neschois, they do have that. And then also in many nuschos, you add also the words afilu shah echas. There also you have the, which is how we have it. Many posts, some of the posts can discuss that. They say, what do you mean afilu shah echas? Let's say, for example, yeah, your mouth is supposed to be open, but a person can live with his mouth closed for several hours. So what kind of afilu shah echas? But fine, but what we mean is, of the ones that are so that have to be open all the time, say, for example, the nose, if those were closed up, then that's it, the person is a goner. It is true that among them, there are some that could be closed for longer and wouldn't have any ill effect. But some of the posts can take out the words, but most of them have. And Gemara says, my chosim. Fine. Now, how do you end off that bracha? It's a long bracha. So the rule is you have to have an ending bracha. So Rav says, you finish off that Hashem heals the sick. So Shmuel says, I don't like that. It comes out that Abba, which is a name for Rav, is in effect saying that everybody is sick. Either what it is Abba, we talked about this before, I think, either Abba was Rav's personal name, so Shmuel being his chaver calls him that, or the other way around, Abba is a title of respect. And therefore, so Shmuel was using that for Rav. Whatever the case, so no, Roifei Cholim is not really an appropriate chasimah for this bracha. The fact is, a person's not sick, they just needed to go to the bathroom. Ela Roifei Chol Basar, rather the proper nusach would be that Hashem heals all flesh, which means, in other words, when a person goes to the bathroom and successfully gets out whatever needs to be gotten out, that heals the whole body. The Rambam describes in Hilchos Deis, for example, that when a person has tzoya that remains where it's not supposed to be, then it causes the whole body to become very sick. So like this, letting it out is a refor for the whole body. Rav Shesha, someone mafli lasis. Rav Shesha says a different nusach, you should say mafli lasis, that Hashem does amazing things. So one of those things, as it actually says, is the amazing thing that we said about the holes in the body, that all of a person's breath doesn't leak out like the way it would from a balloon with holes in it. Tosfos mentions the same thing. In Shulchan Aruch, it also mentions, and that Ramah says, another part of Mafli Lasis is the fact that you have a neshama and a body that are joined together and remain together for a person's whole life, and one is Gashmias and one is Ruchnias. That's an amazing thing. So you finish off like that. So Omer HaPapa, so HaPapa says, as we've had a few times already, because we have what Shmuel says, and we have what HaPapa says, what Rav Shesha says, so therefore, Rav Shesha says, so we should say both of them, so it's both. Next, the Gemara continues, Hanichnas Lishan Amitase, a person is getting ready to go to bed for the night. So first he says at least the first parasha of Shema. And there's an interesting point, I think, that Tzlach makes. Why is the Gemara saying from Shema until Vahoyim Shemaya? Why not just say the first parasha of Shema? And the reason is because then we wouldn't know, you have to also say Baruch Shem. Like this, by saying from Shema until Vahoyim Shemaya, you're meant to understand. It means the first paragraph as you have it in the Siddur, as you have it in Davening, which includes Baruch Shem. So the minimum, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the idea behind Kriyas Shema Shalom Mitzvah is to protect, a person should be protected from Mazikim. So most of the time we say all three parashias, but the bare minimum is to say one parasha. On Pesach night, Taka, we only say the one parasha. And then va'omer, then you say the bracha, baruch hamapil chevlei sheina al eino, that Hashem makes the chevlei of sleep fall on my eyes. The word chevlei has two meanings. It means ropes, literally. So like your eyes are like tied shut with ropes, so as if with ropes. And the other meaning is chevlei also means portions. So the portions of sleep. Anyway, al eino on my eyes, or snuma and slumber alafapai on my eyelids, or meila ishin bas oyin, and you make the pupil of the eye be able to see light. That Hashem should make me able to sleep peacefully. Now, this next part, actually, these next couple of lines, we don't have in our nusach, neither do most other sidurim. And in fact, the Torah brings that they were actually added by one of the Gaonim, Rav Amram, I think he says, Rav Amram Gaon. So we continue. V'sein chelki b'sarasecha, give me my portion in your Torah. V'sagileni l'idei mitzvah, make me accustomed to doing mitzvahs. V'al tagileni l'idei avera, don't make me accustomed to doing averas. V'al tibieni l'idei chet, don't bring me to chet. V'lo l'idei oven, or to oven. Chet is accidental. Oven is purposeful. V'lo l'idei nisoyen, and not to tests. Even David HaMelech was given a test and didn't pass it, for example. the lowly Dave Zoyan and not to be humiliated. The Yishlit be Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Tov should be in control of me. Bao Yishlit be Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara should not be in control of me. But Satzileni be Pegara, you should save me from any evil, from any bad occurrences, or Mechaloyim Roim, and from any bad sicknesses. So again, this was all added by one of the Gaonim. We don't have it in On Nusach. The Tzlach brings an interesting point. So Taka, why did Rav Amram go and add it? And why do we have it printed in front of us over here? The reason is because, after all, a person has a mitzvah to learn Torah day and night. But the fact is, a person has to sleep. So therefore, you're saying that you're saying to Hashem, don't think that I'm going to sleep because I don't feel like learning anymore. No, and so forth. I want to be able to learn Torah. I want to be able to do mitzvahs, but I'm a human being. I got to sleep. Anyway, then we continue. I shouldn't be frightened by bad dreams or by bad thoughts. My bed should be complete in front of you, which means it actually says that there shouldn't be any psulim or any rishoyim among my descendants. That's what we say by Yaakov, for example, with the same meaning. Why are we saying that Dafke and Hamapo, by the way, the Avudraham points out, after a person goes to bed, at some point during the night, might be when he's going to have relations with his wife. You're not going to make a bracha right before that. The Chacham were not masakin a bracha right before having relations. So therefore, this serves the purpose.
So there are
Siddurim where they have Hamapil at the beginning, and then they have Shema and all the rest of it at the end, and then they have Shema and all the rest of it at the end. And yeah, or Nusach is the other way around, that Hamapil goes at the end, particularly because you're not really supposed to talk after Hamapil. So why the other Nuschois have Hamapil first? I haven't seen why, but Pashtus, because here the Gemara is saying when you go to sleep, it should be the first thing. So therefore, yeah. So you continue, enlighten my eyes so I don't sleep the sleep of death, which means Marashah says, you know, we learned earlier in the parak that sleep is 1/60th of death. And during the nighttime, you don't have the sights of your eyes because your eyes are closed. So therefore you're asking that in the morning, Hashem should make me come alive again, and that Hashem should allow me to see like I do now. And you finish off, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamer La'olam, Kula B'chvodeh, that Hashem enlightens the whole world with his glory. So that's the bracha hamakom. Ki mitar. Now, when the person wakes up the next morning, Omer, the first thing he says is elokei neshama. Now, we don't do that. We first wash negev haser and we say asher yatzar. So there's a good deal of discussion about that. We say modani first, right? Then we wash negev haser, then we say asher yatzar, and elokei neshama is only afterwards. So there's an explanation that you'll find in various places. The Shara Kolo discusses it at some length, and it's brought in different other places as well, that in the times of the Gemara, they were on a higher ruchniistic level. When they woke up, they didn't have such a tumma on their hands as we have. All they needed to do maybe is rinse their fingertips, and then they're ready to start their avodah. Therefore, they could start with elokei neshama. In later times, we're not on that level. So therefore, we start with Moda'ani, which doesn't even have any name of Hashem. Therefore, you can say it before you even washed. And we know there's a famous thing in Yonash Al Torah Sachsidus, where the Rebbe explains at great length the Pnimiyus in Yonim of that, and the idea that the Moda'ani of a Yid, and Ayom Yom actually, that the Moda'ani of a Yid can never become Tomei, and the Rebbe discusses it at great length in Kuntus in Yonash Al Torah Sachsidus. Anyway, so the vote is, in later times, when people were not on that high Ruchniistic level, so now when they wake up, they can't first be saying a bracha with Hashem's name, so therefore they were sacking Moda'ani, and then the next thing after that is, yeah, you should wash, and then so then what happens is usually in the morning you also, first thing you wake up, you have to go to the bathroom, so you may as well be saying Asher Yotzer as well. In any case, the Alter Rebbe points out that also there's a valid reason to be saying Asher Yotzer in the morning anyway, just because you're thanking Hashem in general for creating the human body with imperfection, like we said before, so even if you didn't need to go to the bathroom, you'd still say it anyway, and only after that do you go to Elokei Neshama. In fact, one point is, why is it, the question is also discussed, why does Elokei Neshama not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem? So the rule is, usually a bracha arucha is supposed to begin with Baruch Atah Hashem and end with it. So why doesn't Elokei Neshama? So there are a couple of answers. One of them being that's a birkas hashevach, it's a bracha of praise to Hashem, and that kind doesn't necessarily need to begin with Baruch. But another point is that it's considered a bracha smucha l'chavita. It's a bracha that follows a previous one. So what previous bracha does it follow? The Avudraham says, in fact, it follows Hamapil. The Hamapil was the last thing you said before you went to sleep, and Elokei Neshama, according to the original thing, was the first thing you said when you woke up in the morning. morning. So therefore, it's bracha smocha l'chaverka. But the Alter Rebbe says, since we don't do that nowadays, the better thing is to say alkayin neshama after actually yotzer, and that way it's still bracha smocha l'chaverka. So that's the reason for that order. So you say alkayin neshama shenasatami, the neshama that you placed in me, tahorahi, tahorah is pure. After yitzartabi, you created it in me. We don't have the word be, and the post can point out because Hashem didn't create the neshama in the person. Hashem created the neshama and then put it into the person. So after nefachtabi, you blew it into me. But after meshamra b'kivi, you guard it within me. Marsha points out the loshen after berasa, after yitzarta, after nefachta refers to the three levels of the neshama, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. B'kivi means b'kivi means like within. B just means into me. Like by Hashem blew the neshama into Adam Rishon's nose, but it didn't you know it could have just stayed in his nose. But afterwards, it's b'kivi. It's within me. It permeates my entire body. You have actually there are Maamar Chassidus, for example, the Maamar Chadodi that talks about before a person has davened, in a certain sense, his neshama is only in his nose. It hasn't yet permeated his entire guf. And that is why we have the expression in the pasuk, stay away from a person where his neshama is in his nose, because meaning the Gemara says, we're going to earlier in the Masechta, you're not allowed to go greet somebody before davening. So that's the verse. It explains in that maimer that, it starts with the neshama is only in the nose, and then it spreads out to the rest of the body. So therefore, so first we're saying B, that it was put into me, and then B, then it's within me, then it's permeating my whole body. So you preserve it, the kirbi, within me. But after osid litla mi mani, in the future you will take it away from me. Olach zirabi la osid lava, and then in the future you will return it to me. But tfesa mesim calls man shana shama the kirbi. As long as the neshama is within me, modani the fanecha Hashem the kayv the kayv. Say, I thank you, Hashem, my God, and the God of my fathers. Ribon kol olamim, the master of all the worlds. Adon kol neshamas, the master of all the neshamas. Ribon is an Aramaic word, and adon is a lashon kodesh word. So I haven't seen anything about this, but maybe the vote is. When it comes to the olam, which is on a lower level, using the word ribon. When it comes to the neshama, which is ruchniyistik, then you use adon. Anyway, baruch atah Hashem, hamachzir neshamas lefgarim mesim, that Hashem returns neshamas to dead bodies. Next, ki shama kol tanugola, when you hear the sound of a rooster crowing in the morning, lema, then you say the baruch Hashem nasam sechli bina, that Hashem gave the sechli understanding, and sechli has two possible meanings. It can mean the rooster, and it can also mean the human heart. So Hashem gave both of them the intelligence, lahavchin ben yom uvein loyla, to distinguish between day and night. Ki posach eine, when you open your eyes, lema borach pekeachivim, Hashem opens the eyes of the blind. Ki zokif, you stand up, lema borach zokif kufim. I skipped one. Ki tritz v'yosif, when a person sits up straight, lema borach matir asurim, you say that Hashem unbinds the prisoners, like so to speak. A person is a prisoner during the night. He can't move while he's asleep. Now in the morning, you're able to move again, so therefore it's like you're a prisoner who's just been released. Ki lovish, when you get dressed, lema borach mal b'sharum, and then you say that Hashem clothes the naked. Ki zokif, when you get up, when you stand up straight, lema baruch zokif kufim, and you say that Hashem makes the bowed stand up straight. You were bowed, you were bent up, you were lying, you were curled up in a ball by night, and now you're standing up straight. We have those in a slightly different order, by the way. Shara Kol points out, in the times of the Gemara, it was very common that people didn't sleep with bedclothes. People would sleep without any clothes. So therefore, the first thing is they're getting dressed under their covers, and then they're standing up. Therefore, they'd say Malvish Aromim first. We who sleep using with pajamas or whatever, so therefore we can say Malvish Aromim later on, after we've gotten up. One thing it does say in Shulchan Aruch is you do have to say it in the order, Zekif Kufim. And you have to say Matir Asurim and then Zokif Kufim, because included in Zokif Kufim is Matir Asurim. Once you're able to stand up straight, that also includes that now you're able to move. So if you said Zokif Kufim first, you're not going to be able to say Matir Asurim. So therefore, you have to say them dafke in that way. Next. When you actually get onto the ground, you say that Hashem spreads out the earth over the water, that Hashem gave us an earth to be able to step on and to walk on. When you start walking, that Hashem prepares the steps of a person. When you put on your shoes, that Hashem made for me my every need. And because that my every need particularly refers to shoes, because shoes are what make it possible for you to go out and be able to accomplish everything else that you need. We have other Gemaras, in fact, that point out how important it is for a person to have shoes. There's Marnan Shabbos that says, for example, a person should even sell the beams of his house to buy himself shoes. And this, the fact that it has to do with shoes, is why we don't say Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. Ki also hemyone, when he puts on his belt, lema baruch ozi yisrael begvura, that Hashem girds, Hashem binds up the hips of the Jewish people with gvura. Because in other words, a belt throughout Tanakh is a symbol of strength, in the sense that when you're getting ready to do a hard job or to go to war, whatever, you use a belt to hitch up your clothes so they're not flowing all over the place and getting in your way. You can also use it as a tool belt to hold weapons on or whatever. So therefore, it's a symbol of gvura. Keep paris sudra al reshe, when you put a sudr, which is a turban or a hat or whatever, on your head, then you say baruch oto yisrael b'sifara, that Hashem crowns the Jewish people with glory. Those two, by the way, you mentioned specifically Yisrael, the poskim explained, because even though it's true, goyim also wear belts and goyim also wear hats, well, less nowadays, but whatever. For us, those things have special meaning. A belt is important for davening, because you have to have your heart and your erva should be separated. And a hat or a covering on your head is important for davening, to be davening to the Eibishter with the in a bekavadik way. So therefore, we mention Yisrael by those two things, by those two brachas. You make the bracha to wrap yourself in tzitzis. There's a big argument among the poskim. What about if you're wearing only a talis cotton? Do you also say leisatif tzitzis on that, or do you say something else? Lamaisa, the lamaisa, you have the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis for that. But once a man is married and starts wearing a talis, then he doesn't make the bracha on the tzitzis anymore. Then he just makes the bracha leisatif tzitzis on the talis and has in mind to also be motzi the tzitzis, the talis cotton. When he puts tefillin on his arm, and then when he puts the tefillin on his head, al mitzvahs tefillin. Now here you have a big machlokas aposkim, and Tosfos discusses it over here at some length. Is it that you're always saying two brachas? Or is it that you're only saying the second bracha only if you talk between the shoyad and the shorosh? So you have different minhagim. As we know, in the Velt, they say al mitzvah tefillin also, always. They do say after it, baruch shen for machos avon bod, in order to be yotze, according to the opinion that they shouldn't have said that bracha. Whereas according to Rashi and many other poskim, you don't say al mitzvah tefillin at all, unless you spoke between them. And then in fact, so we do that, and we only say l'haniach tefillin unless you talk between them. So we b'chalal don't say al mitzvah tefillin unless, so if that's the thing, if you talk between the shoyad and the shorosh, which you're not supposed to do, then everybody agrees that you would say the second bracha, then there's no reason to say baruch sheh. But the Velt holds, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that you do in fact always say al mitzvah tefillin. However, to be choshish for the opinions that you don't is why they say baruch sheh afterwards. So we'll continue with Birkas HaShachar tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Well, those are actually in the Gemara in Menachos. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll also talk about the order of these. Brachas a bit. Yeah. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola Chav Hei Tevis. We have to influence the Umas Olam to keep the Shev Mitzvah Neneach. Our generation is the last generation of Golos and the first generation of Gola. So we have special. On the avoda of the Jewish people to be mashpia on the umas ha'olam in everything as far as good and justice and righteousness, which is through keeping the Shev Mitzvah Minayach, and that will be a very quick way of fulfilling the nevuah that Hashem says, that then I'll turn, that all the nations will have a clear language and all serve Hashem together, and as the Rambam says, that the whole occupation of the whole world will only be ladas Hashem bovad, ki mola utzdeyas Hashem kamayim l'yom ha'chassid. So we have to work on teaching them and getting them to fulfill the Shev Mitzvah Minayach as a preparation for that. Continuing on halachos of brachas achronis, there are certain kinds of berries that grow on certain kinds of trees or thorn bushes or whatever. They grow on their own. People don't really plant them. There's also, for example, some kinds of like little apples and things like that. So those, when they're raw, they're not really good to eat. So then even if you cook them or fry them or whatever, you only make on them shakol, because they're not really an important enough thing to say ha'etz or ha'dam. But for example, hazelnuts, even though they grow wild, they're considered important enough, so you would in fact say ha'etzem.